Welcome to the Monarch Experience Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Ancona. Here at the Monarch Experience Podcast, we are all about giving students the platform to be able to voice their opinions about what matters most to them. And today, we're talking about WandaVision. That's right. WandaVision came out in the winter, took the internet and the Marvel Universe by storm. And now we're here. I'm joined by three incredible students talking about all the things that they loved about WandaVision, the sitcom references, their favorite characters, favorite episodes, theories or Easter eggs maybe that they noticed throughout, and that much, much more. All right, so let's introduce our three students. We've got returning for a second episode. You may remember Tarun from the Grades Don't Matter or Grades Are Not Important episode. Tarun, say hi to our audience.
Hi, audience.
All right, Tarun, it's great to have you back. We got Owner.
Hey, what's up?
Owner, you and I have been chatting about this WandaVision episode for a little while, right?
For like 3 months by now.
Yeah, I know. As of recording, it's April 19th when we're recording this. And I was looking back on our emails, and I think in January, you were tossing it my way about, you know, maybe we do like a review on WandaVision. And I think you were one of the reasons why I kind of was like, all right, I got to watch the show now. I got people who, they're giving me homework. So, Owner, I'm glad to finally get you on and to finally meet you. And returning, we have last seen her, episode 10, moving up to high school, Chloe Lee.
Hello.
Chloe, what's going on?
Nothing much. How about you?
Nah, nothing much. I took a 4-minute nap. I'm good to go. I got a cup of coffee. We just got to talk to Chloe during the Monarch Experience podcast logo reveal. So, Chloe, we're just like doubling down. You're everywhere now. Super popular. This is how we really capitalize on how important you are to this podcast. Obviously, if people don't know, Chloe is our OG logo designer. So WandaVision, let's talk about this. But before we do, I feel like our getting to know you question would make the most sense if we made it about our favorite Marvel character. So Chloe, we'll start with you. Former alumni first.
If you're talking about in the MCU, Iron Man,
okay,
because I just like his like snarkiness, like his like comments on everything, and like his sarcastic, yeah.
I feel like he kind of like the way that they portrayed Iron Man is like what set the tone for every Marvel movie with the snarkiness, the comebacks, like the one-liners.
Yeah. I think his character was also like the most like how they drew him in the comics, like how he looks.
Yeah. They really didn't change his the original like suits and stuff like much at all.
Yeah,
that's a great point. I wonder if that's me. So I would go Iron Man for me. I'd probably also go Spider-Man. Spider-Man's like my number one in Marvel, but I know he was like one of the later phases. Owner, what about you? Favorite MCU character?
My favorite,
good guy or bad guy?
Probably Spider-Man, just because I'm able to relate to him the most, because he's the youngest out of all of them.
All right, so we're both Spider-Man fans, and so Owner, I gotta ask you, favorite Spider-Man villain?
Probably the Green Goblin, just because he's like the OG.
I'm a Venom fan, so anything with Venom I'm always excited for. Tarun, favorite MCU character?
He hasn't been in much, but Rocket, by far.
Okay, how come?
I watched the original Guardians of the Galaxy, like, when I was 7, I think. So,
nice.
I was watching it at a sleepover, and it was just, like, this trigger-happy raccoon. And so, that's basically what got me into the MCU. So.
And that is your spirit animal, right? A trigger-happy raccoon.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I love it. So, all right, nobody said Wanda, obviously. So before we jump into this, and we're going to review season one of WandaVision, what was your level of excitement when the show was first mentioned? Like when this show was set to air and you know you got like the teaser trailers and stuff and everything on social media comes out, what is your fandom level at? Did you know the Wanda character and think like, okay, this is good. She's in all the Avengers movie. Like it's going to be a cool show. Or were you like me going, they based a show off of who? Her? Really? And Vision? Is that a big deal? Should I feel like this is a big deal?
Yeah. I like when I first saw it, I was kind of confused on like what the show was gonna be about. Because, like, based on the trailer, it was super, super confusing. It's, like, it's in black and white. It seems to be, like, kind of like a sitcom. I'm like, how does this fit into the MCU? How does this make any canonical sense? And then, well, as for the character Wanda, I thought that was kind of cool that side characters would be getting their own shows. That I were able to focus more on the smaller characters. So, yeah, no, I thought that that was cool. But I was just very confused.
Chloe, what about you? What was your level of excitement? Was there any level of excitement?
I was like really excited for it because like they were hyping it up like a lot, like
yeah,
lot, like many months before it was actually like released on a Disney Plus.
They did a great job with giving it a really unique feel even before like an episode came out, where you knew you were watching something that was gonna just feel different, like as far as the tone. So I think that probably helped a tremendous deal. Tarun, what about you? Was there a level of excitement going into it, or am I the only one who was just like, nah, I don't care?
Yeah, I kind of didn't really know it existed until probably spring break when I got to just like go through all of Disney Plus. And like I watched all the Marvel stuff in like sequential order. And once I found out about this, I was pretty excited about it. So yeah.
Here's where I want to start. Was this a good show?
I mean, like, that's kind of a really general question. I don't know. Okay, so I'll just, like, order which episodes I think were the best. Like, the first few episodes, I thought that they were, like, super, super unique. I was, like, liking this. Then when I got to the fourth episode, since the entire episode just took place out of the sitcom universe, and it took the time to explain, it kind of took me out of the show. Because I feel like it was a lot more fun to just theorize and assume based on the context clues that they gave us. Like, I would have liked it a lot more if there was, like, barely an explanation. And then by the end of the show, I don't know. I was just left a teensy bit slightly disappointed, but also not, because it's like, what could I expect?
We'll talk about the ending, I think, for a chunk of time, I'm sure. Odor, I agree with you, man. Like, I think the... we interrupt this message or this episode, that standalone. It really wasn't standalone. It was more of like the exposition dump in a way of like, here's what's going on. I thought it was helpful. I would argue that if they didn't do that, I think it would have been really hard to follow. So I actually really appreciated that. It didn't take me out of the show, but I didn't like that episode all that much. I thought it was, at the time, we'll get there, I thought it was the worst episode that I had seen. What was that, episode 4? I was really loving 1, 2, 3. And then when they took you out of the sitcom thing, I kind of was like, I was like, okay, that's fine.
Like, I'm fine if they explain a teensy bit of it, but I feel like having none of the sitcom elements, it just, you know.
Yeah, I wonder, that'd be so hard to do both, right? Because your classic sitcom doesn't, one, get too heavy, and then two, I don't think it tends to explain itself in the manner that it would have needed to have been explained to make sense of things.
Yeah.
Okay. So owner, let's start there. What was your favorite episode?
My favorite episode was probably, wait, was it episode 6 or 5 with the Agatha All Along reveal?
I think 6.
Yeah. Episode 6. That one I liked the most.
There were 8 in total, right?
Yeah, there are 9 in total.
9 in total. Okay, so maybe it was. I know which one you're talking about. The Agatha, where it had the Munsters reference song, which was so clearly like a nod to the Munsters show. Owner, what'd you like about that episode?
I liked how it balanced like a bit of the sitcom plus the outside world perfectly, and I also liked how the show was kind of like The Office. And I found it, like, the most funny out of all the episodes. But that was just me.
That was the breaking of the fourth wall one, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so that one was The Office and a little bit of Modern Family.
Yeah.
And I thought that was – my wife and I were – once we finished the episode prior, and it was, like, the 90s, and it was Malcolm in the Middle and all that stuff, the Halloween Spectacular. My wife and I were like, all right, so they're done with the 90s. What's going to be the show of the 2000s that they're going to use? And then as soon as we saw like the mockumentary office style thing. We're like, oh, of course that would be it. Chloe, what was your favorite episode? And then also, what were your thoughts on the on that we interrupt this regularly scheduled program episode?
I really liked all of them. I didn't really think that there was like one specific one that I could choose to be like my favorite out of all of them, but it was probably one of like the later episodes if I had to like pick one.
Once we started getting towards like the culmination of everything.
Yeah, once we started like including sword and like all the other like elements like from outside and inside the hex.
Okay, yeah. We're definitely going to talk about the last few episodes kind of as like a separate part of this for sure. Tarun, what was your favorite episode, and did you mind the interrupting regularly scheduled programming?
Yeah, I kind of liked that the most, that episode.
Yeah?
Because like it took all the elements from the first few episodes, like the radio and her hand bleeding. And like it took all those things and the helicopter too. It took all those things and sort of explained it. And so I thought that put me in like a line with the show, because I haven't really watched any sitcoms. So I was kind of confused, but that kind of just like put my interest back into the show.
Yeah. I wonder, cause like obviously a huge audience for the show are, you know, obviously people my age too, but like your age group loves Marvel stuff. So I was wondering if you guys had to like look up to see what these shows were that they were referencing, if you even cared at all, like if you got the references, like what is your TV and pop culture knowledge when you're starting this thing? And the first two episodes are clearly like Dick Van Dyke, I Love Lucy, I Dream a Genie. That was probably episode two, I think, a little bit more. Did you guys see any of those connections? Are those shows that even are on your radar that you even know?
I mean, okay, for the first and second episode, I thought that they were still like mimicking the same show. Like for me, just like they were both black and white, they both seemed kind of similar. You know, because I don't have that much of a knowledge of like older shows. I mean, obviously like the classics I know, but like for those two particular episodes, I was like, wait, what is this? I mean, I knew that was like an older sitcom, obviously, but I just didn't know exactly which show was referencing. But as it got more and more modern, that's where I understood it more and more.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, like I immediately, when it was black and white and like the canned like laughter and like the anytime someone walks in the room, it's like the yay, like clapping and all that. It was just, I mean, I Love Lucy, and it is very, very I Love Lucy-ish, just with like the housewife stuff, the kind of like physical comedy where they're like tripping over things and stuff like that. I thought I appreciated that, but I kind of knew that. I was wondering if you guys did. Chloe, Tarun, do you guys recognize those references, or did you have to look them up?
I didn't recognize like most of the like little references, because those are obviously like made before I was even born.
Yeah, me too.
But like my dad like knew some of the references, so like he would like point them out and be like, "Oh, this is from like the whatever show," and like he would like laugh at it, and I'll try to figure out what was funny from that.
Yeah, Tarun, for you, was there any? Did the references mean anything in the beginning?
I mean, a few of them made, I sort of pointed out, but I also watched it with like my dad sometimes.
Nice.
So like he pointed things out too.
See, I like that. I like that you guys kind of watched it with family that kind of helped you through some of those references a little bit, because I don't know if it would be as enjoyable. I mean, I guess it would be as enjoyable if you didn't know the references, but it would feel like, what was the point without them? Like if you're not seeing the Brady Bunch references towards like episodes, what? Four and five, or three and four, and like references to the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Full House later in the 90s, and like Growing Pains. Love Growing Pains. Growing Pains was the reference where they had the intro, showed them as kids, and then showed them as like through the years. I actually think I was enjoying seeing what show are they going to reference in the next episode more than I actually was enjoying the show itself.
Yes, same.
Which is dangerous, because that becomes like distracting almost. Owner, I started with you a few minutes ago and I asked, was this a good show? And I'm going to argue and say it wasn't a good show. Like it had cool references. It had cool like nods to other parts of like TV history, but I don't know if I really liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's not like with you where I like you're questioning if you even liked the show in the first place. As in, I know that I liked it, and I know that it was a decently good show. I just feel like a lot of it, as in, okay, this is what I really, really liked, like, at the start of it, whenever it twisted your expectations, and it wasn't just, like, a parody of every other, like, sitcom. It's like, I like the part where the man inside the first episode, like, this really, really subverted my expectations. It's like, the man inside the first episode, he choked on his food, and then all of a sudden the screen just went wide, and then it just got, like, really, really unsettling. That's when I was like, oh, yeah, no, this is its own show, and it's actually going to do something.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, because they needed something to make you go to leave that first episode thinking, like, what is happening here? And I think if they just did the spoof, I don't think you were going to question like what was going on in that world. I think that's really well said. Yeah. Chloe Tarun, was it a good show?
I think it was a good show, because like it was, because like everything still like connected and was like, you can you like can identify like what the plot was and like what, like what's actually happening versus like what like Wanda was trying to like show like a perfect life, but you knew like it wasn't a perfect life because she because like it showed like it wasn't, because like Vision like really wasn't there and like stuff like that.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty cool aspect of like dramatic irony that, you know, us as the audience, we know Vision's dead. Like, whether or not Wanda's going to cope with it or not. Like, and I love that that theme that I thought was kind of throughout the whole show was like coping with death was really, really heavy for, on the surface, what was such a lighthearted show. Tarun, what are your thoughts?
I thought it could be better. Like, it had the potential to be better because, like, I didn't recognize some of those things before, like the references to other shows. But like, other than that, it could have still been better. Like, if they add in like other MCU elements, like other characters too. So
were there any favorite side characters?
In my opinion, like, this is really, really obvious. I mean, like, you guys should agree too. It's definitely Jimmy Woo. It's like, no chance it isn't. Cause I don't, it's really, really, it's like really, really obvious, yet it's so hard to explain. It's just something about Jimmy Woo. It's just like, he was by far the best character.
The actor's charisma is great. He's on Young Rock also. And he's just, he makes me laugh. He's so self-deprecating.
I think Jimmy Woo is definitely one of my favorite like side characters, because like they included like the small details of like Ant-Man, like when he was under house arrest, like taught him a little bit of close-up magic, and he like showed that off like when he was in WandaVision. Mm. Another side character I think would be like Darcy, or like the she worked with Rambo. Yeah, I thought she was like a really good like side character, because like, in episode, like, what was the like the Halloween episode, I think, when Vision like went like beyond like that street that they weren't supposed to go to, like he saw circus. That they were all, and then like they were driving and there was like traffic because like Wanda didn't want him to go home, and then like she was stuck in like that traffic, and you literally didn't see her again until like episode 10 when when she ran that guy over.
And when she does that, I forgot about her. So that was hilarious that she was stuck in traffic for like three full episodes.
Yeah. Like, they made you like forget about like where she was like the entire time until like she came back and like hit the guy.
Yeah, and the pacing too of that, of the comedy in that, where they're at the stoplight and then construction truck shows up. They're working on the light itself, was very well done. It, very Modern Family, like, it felt like that. Tarun, what about you? Favorite side character?
Yeah, I have to agree with Jimmy Woo. Like, mainly because like the close up magic, and I really liked Ant-Man and the Wasp. So,
okay, here's where I think we're gonna maybe have some disagreements.
Yeah,
I hated the ending.
Same.
I'm just gonna come out and say it. Hated the ending. I thought it actually took me out of the show. My level of MCU understanding is just very surface level. I've watched the movies just recently. I really am not digging too deep into theories and stuff like that. I watch it for what it is. If it's enjoyable, I like it. If I don't, I don't. I didn't like the ending. I hated the Agatha All Along reveal. The song was great. It's been in my head all day since, obviously, we're recording this. It's just been in my head. But I hated the reveal. I didn't know anything of that witches were going to be a part of it. So that once that happened, I was like, what? I was like, I was really loving the whole, like, her coping with reality. And, like, I thought that would be the villain. The main villain was herself and her learning how to cope with his death. I mean, heavy stuff for Marvel, for sure. But I still wanted it to be there. And I think it was the focus for a little bit. But I thought that the witch stuff really became a distraction for me because it felt like they needed a Marvel ending with special effects. They needed to be out in the universe, like fighting each other in the cosmos. They needed this over-the-top villain. And it felt like they needed to make it more Marvel than maybe it needed to be.
I totally.
What are your thoughts?
Okay. First of all, there's like two kind of villains inside this. There was Agatha, and then there's also like the other guy back at back on Earth, the kind of scientist guy who ends up getting arrested in the end. I thought that I didn't like him that much. I feel like he wasn't that interesting of a villain, and they just cast him off to the side. And then meanwhile with Agatha, I liked the reveal, even though I had no idea like who Agatha was. Apparently she's from the comics, but I didn't really watch any like theory videos on this or whatever. So this came out of nowhere. But like when it came to it, like the final battle, I felt like it was way too generic. I mean, in terms of the MCU, generic. As in like in the end, they were just like throwing like witch fireballs at each other. And I felt like they could have done something so much more unique for like the final episode, but they ended up just going with the normal, you know, everyday Marvel ending where it has to be like big and bombastic or else they think that nobody's gonna like it.
Yeah, I think I wonder if it's because it was such a daring show for them to take just such a very unique approach that I wonder if they were like, we may alienate our fan base, like people may not like it, so we got to make sure we give them what they can expect from us.
Yeah, which I think was like kind of the downfall of WandaVision around the end, because they, you know, they were like at the start, like it was really, really unique. And then by the end, I feel like they played it way too safe. And also, I thought that they were going to introduce the multiverse like around the end with who is this? Oh, yeah, no, Quicksilver. I mean, the fake recast of Quicksilver.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and then they just cast him off to the side, and then it's like, yeah, no. I totally thought, since the same actor who played that also played Quicksilver inside like the other X-Men movies that aren't a part of the MCU. So I thought that they were going to like introduce this entire new multiverse, and then that just ended up being a joke. So, yeah.
So I agree. Hayward was like every stereotypical military-based villain in every Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chloe, what were your thoughts on the ending? Were you a fan?
I thought the ending was like okay. I kind of agree with some of the points that you and Owner made, but like the whole point of like this show was to like introduce the like her to witchcraft so that it could it's kind of like sets up for, I think she's supposed to be in the new Doctor Strange movie.
Okay.
So it's supposed to like set up for that so that she has, because like, did you guys watch the end credit scene for the last episode?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
She was sitting like in that cabin.
Well, because every Marvel movie has to have someone go off into like an abandoned woods, like cabin house. Like even Thanos did that. Like, why is that the thing they go to all the time? So Chloe, talk to me about that post-credit scene. What's the significance of that? I just thought she was on vacation.
That was like after like her big battle, and she kind of like retreated to that cabin. So she's like, if for anyone who doesn't know, she's sitting like in the back of the cabin, like kind of doing the technique that Doctor Strange did when he was reading like all the books. It's her like astral form or something, like in sitting in the corner, like floating and like reading the Darkhold.
Yeah.
And then it's her, and then like her regular self is like walking around the house, like drinking like coffee or something.
Oh, so like out of body almost.
Yeah, it's like an out-of-body thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a confession. I skipped Doctor Strange. I know. That's everyone's reaction is that. They're like, gasp. But okay, so I will go back. I did like Doctor Strange in the last two Avengers movies, or Infinity War, I guess. So it's worth going back, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
To kind of explain like why she was doing that and like how she could do that.
Okay. So where are they going with this? Is this, Chloe, is this a season two? Or is this a totally different spinoff? Was WandaVision a one-off?
I don't think they're going to add like another season to WandaVision, but I think she like the setup like of her having the Darkhold and like reading and like starting to know like all the different like spells and stuff is going to set up for her, I guess, however her character is going to be in the new Doctor Strange and the multiverse movie. Madness of something multiverse.
I'm so impressed by how Marvel, their writing team is just always like 19 steps ahead of everyone, where they're like, we're going to do this show. This show is going to take us to this next show. And then from there, we're going to, like, that is unbelievable. And kudos to them for not milking WandaVision and doing a season two. Cause how do you do a season two there? Like, there's no place to go. Tarun, what'd you think of the ending? I was getting vibes from you that you didn't like it.
I kind of liked it. I mean, it could have it could have been a lot better. Kind of like a lot better than Endgame, in my opinion, because like there's still like the entire thing where they get everyone back. But this one, like with the Scarlet Witch reveal and Agatha, I think they could have taken it to like another level. So like it wasn't bad, but it still wasn't good.
What were you hoping for? Anything specific that you were thinking would happen?
Not really. Maybe like a new character or something, but I guess that's
too okay. Yeah, I mean the Agatha all along reveal I didn't dislike. It was once it was like this big like, and now we're witches. I think I let out the most audible groan, and it's just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
That just doesn't do it for me. But again, my level of understanding of any side character in the Marvel universe is so surface level that maybe I should have seen that coming, but I still enjoyed it. Chloe, what intrigued you about it? What do you think would get a Marvel fan interested in the show?
It showed how Wanda dealt with the death of Vision, like after the blip. Like when she came back, she saw the, like, obviously, like in the middle, it revealed that, like, he left a note for her and, like, the house that they were supposed to live in, like, create a life together. And it just never happened.
Yeah.
Because he, like, died.
Yeah.
So she kind of created the hex, like, completely around that house and, like, trying to, like, form this reality that never happened.
Yeah. And I really loved, like, I feel like I caught on pretty quickly that obviously American sitcoms had to have been some kind of comfort for her at some point growing up. And then they obviously did a really nice job of showing that pretty explicitly towards the end of the series when she was a kid, and how the sitcoms brought her family together and it created this source of protection. And the Hex obviously was a source of protection for her and her family that obviously never was there. Not to get too deep, there was a moment where like, the turning point where she's like, you know, you got to let them go. Like you can't have them. And they felt real to her. So like they feel real to her. So obviously they are real. I turned to my wife. I was like, I would totally much rather that than if I have the ability to do that, I would totally be like, I'd be like Wanda. Like, who cares if it's not real? It's real.
Stay in the hex forever.
It feels like it. I'd stay in the hex forever. Like she saw her kids. I don't care if they're not real or not. She's still like, I don't know. I couldn't.
You were enslaving a bunch of like extras for your show.
When you say it like that, you're going to make me look like a villain, obviously. But yes, I would enslave a bunch of extras to keep my fake world family alive. Alive. That's a weird word to use in that context.
Yeah, they're not. I mean,
present. I don't know. Maybe I'm. I guess it's one of those concepts of like, would you rather live a lie? Or would you and not know? Well, I guess the key is Wanda knows that it's a lie.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like She doesn't know. Go ahead, owner.
I like the I like around the middle of the show. I like the direction where it was heading, where it seemed like Wanda would be like the semi-villain, but also semi-not. And it's like some people resonate with her, and others like would think that she's a villain. And I thought that that would have been a way better direction for the show if it was like it's up to you to question whether there is a true villain or not. But then all of a sudden, it's like, no, we have to have a villain. So, yeah, I know. That part was kind of disappointing to me.
Could they have done both, though? Like, I would argue that they did do both. They gave the smarter fans, your deep analyzers like ourselves, the ability to say, yeah, you know, Agatha is the – and you know, Hayward, they're the physical villains. But really, the real villain is, like, grief. The real villain is Wanda and, like, herself, like, grief is a monster sometimes, and clearly we could see that it's doing that to her and all these other people. I thought it was also cool that, you know, grief sometimes affects more than just yourself, and it affects others around you. Obviously, we're not enslaving extras, but you know how we react to certain tragedies obviously is going to affect other people too. So I thought there was some pretty cool, pretty intense, like, comment, social, societal commentary there too. Chloe, your class, you guys got me back into Marvel, and you got me in that very slow progression of going through the Marvel movies. And it took a while, but I did start when you guys constantly kept telling me, like, you need to watch them, you need to watch them. And the one thing I really don't like about the Marvel movies is that I felt like, until I got to Infinity War, that so many of them were indistinguishable. They just all felt same tone. They all just felt like Call of Duty superheroes. It felt like it was like, this military operation has gained control of this crystal, this stone, and we have to stop them. And there's someone who got it, and now it's in the wrong hands. What's going to happen now? Like, it just felt very rinse and repeat. The tone, the vibe was very similar. This show, every episode's a different tone. So I think that even if you're not a big Marvel fan, I think that refresher for someone like me who kind of like doesn't have a great attention span, I think that is a major selling point. Jump in and go ahead, Tarun.
Yeah, I think the one thing that set me off was like all the ads, like with the shark thing and then the guy dying on the island.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those are all like Easter eggs to other movies. Like, the only one I know is the Lagos one, the paper towels. That was like the city where WandaVision or Wanda blows up one of the buildings with people.
Yeah.
So there's Easter eggs for all of them. But I thought that was just like unique because it added on. It wasn't just like ads following the style of sitcoms back in the 50s and 60s. But it was also like references to other Marvel movies.
What was the importance of those commercials in the context of her creating the hex and like this bubble for herself?
I'm pretty sure the ads like lead up to Vision dying at the end. So I think it's like a subtle nod to how it all became. If you're not like an avid Marvel fan, so like if you picked up on those small things, then you'll be able to like understand, how the hex came to be.
I think those were all like small, like traumatic experiences like in her life. Because the first ad, I think, was like for the Stark Industries toaster.
Yes.
And that, like, if you listen to the the beeping of the toaster, it was supposed to sound like the bomb that didn't go off. Like, that's how she got her powers.
Yeah.
And then the second one was the watch. If you like looked at the watch, it said like Strucker on it, which is like one of the Hydra people. And then if you look underneath Strucker, there was like the Hydra logo on it. And that's like her traumatic experience, like while at Hydra, and they were getting like experimented on and stuff. And then there was also like the Lagos one that Tarun explained.
Now they're making so much more sense. Any final thoughts before we bring this to a close?
I just want to talk about the Scarlet Witch reveal. Like, it wasn't really much of a reveal, in my opinion. Because I feel like, I mean, I'm not too big of a Marvel fan. I mean, like, I enjoy the movies. It's not my favorite series in the world. That would probably go to Star Wars, but, you know, that's for, like, a different episode. But So I really like for the Scarlet Witch thing, like I already knew that she was Scarlet Witch, like from the start. I didn't even know that much, but I knew like some basic superhero knowledge. So I thought that that reveal was pretty lame for like the quote unquote final reveal. But then also, I really, really expected Doctor Strange to be in this in some sort, because I feel like if it's this big of a problem, I feel like Doctor Strange wouldn't know about it, or any other superhero.
Oh, good point.
It's like none of them ever showed up. So that was kind of like, what? How do they not know about this like huge problem involving another Avenger?
That's a great point. Well, a lot of them are dead. That might be the problem.
Yeah, but also like the remaining ones.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're just tired of, maybe they were just tired of all this too. They're just like, nah, we're good. We're going to sit this one out.
I think this was also like the first instance where they called Wanda, like in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where they called Wanda, like not Wanda, they called her the Scarlet Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Like they actually introduced like that like hero name to her.
Yeah.
Because like before that, she was just like Wanda.
Right. Yeah. Just Wanda. And whether we agree that the ending was lackluster, whether we personally enjoyed the ending or whatnot, or felt it was the right direction for the show, right? That's irrelevant. I think an ending that if you feel was not what it should have been in your mind, I think a lot of times that makes us grade stuff harsher than we maybe would have.
Yeah, because the most important thing of like any piece of media, in order to leave a good impression on you or on your viewers or readers or watchers or whatever, you always have to have like the finale to be strong. They leave off with a good impression.
Well, I think well said. What better place to end than right there with the importance of a good ending? Make sure there's no disappointment when it comes to the Monarch Experience podcast, though. So make sure that you're leaving us a 5-star rating and review. Make sure you're subscribing so you can always stay notified, no matter if you were a current Memorial student or you, just like Chloe, or a former student and an alumni, and you want to get back on an episode, or you just want to keep up with all the shenanigans that we're doing. Until next time, stay safe, stay hungry. See ya.